Who has ever done something that your family thought was completely crazy? You ever done anything like that? Seen a lot of hands. Seems to be a common thing, right? I've done a lot of things that my family has thought was crazy, but they've been pretty supportive of my craziness for the most part. I mean, a lot of you guys know that my family, they're all Missouri Synod Lutherans, and so they think just being an Episcopalian is crazy. And so, but again, they've been very supportive of that. And that all kind of came to a head for me in the last week when I was traveling. So some of you know, I went to Kansas, where I was originally born and hadn't been in over 20 years, to attend the funeral of my uncle, Tom. And of course, it was at a Missouri Synod Lutheran church, and I had been actually asked by my cousin to if I could preside for the service, but Missouri Synod said, "Nope, that's not happening." And it's I understand, I get it, I get it. But what was more interesting about the experience really was connecting with kind of the depths of my family history, which are things that I've been aware of, but to get back there, kind of where it all happened, gave it kind of a new depth for me. This was a church that goes way back in my family. There's all sorts of relatives of mine they're buried in the cemetery there and have attended that church over the years. Going back to grandmother, great-grandparents, and their relatives. It's in this tiny little town called Vassar, Kansas. And I found out as we were, after the service, we went out to eat at a little restaurant that was on a golf course there. And I found out talking to one of my distant cousins that this restaurant was owned by one of my distant cousins, and all the staff there were other cousins, and so basically my great grandmother, my grandmother's parents, their family had settled there, and they basically ran the whole town. So it was like I was in a town entirely my relatives, and it was kind of interesting. And I was reminded also of the fact that, just being clergy goes very far back in my family. Both of my great grandfathers were Lutheran pastors, and you know, they'd probably think I'm crazy for being an Episcopal priest. But I think, you know, on their side of things, they probably at this point would be pretty proud and respectful of where I've come and where I've ended up. I think in the case of just about all of us, family has set the precedent and shaped who we are, right? I mean, it's in good ways and in bad ways, in positive ways and in negative ways. For some of us, in a lot more positive ways than others, I recognize, but family shapes who we are. And so our gospel reading today is an interesting one when we think about family, because here we have Jesus encountering his family. And as we can see from this passage, Jesus's relationship with his family, at least once he started his ministry, was a little bit, it was a little bit complex, right? You might, if you look at what Jesus says in the gospel today and look at some of the other passages in the gospels as well, you might come to the conclusion that Jesus was not really particularly big on family. You know, he said a lot of negative things about families. And perhaps understandably so. I mean, his family absolutely thought he was crazy, and they weren't particularly supportive of him. So was Jesus anti-family? I think to understand Jesus' perspective on family, we have to, first of all, put everything in context, put everything in perspective. This passage we heard today is from the Gospel of Mark. And Mark's Gospel, the whole central theme of the story of Mark, and Mark is very much a story. It's very much an action story. It goes from one thing to the next very quickly. It's all about action. But the action in Mark is the conflict between Jesus and his way of seeing things and his way of doing things, which he identifies as the kingdom of God, right? And then the establishment, the system, the way of doing things of the empire, of the religious authorities of his time, and they were always butting heads from the very, very beginning. Jesus' way, this kingdom of God, which from the very beginning, you know, that's the first thing he says in the Gospel of Mark, is the kingdom of God is here. He's fighting against the powers that be and anything that creates oppression for people. And so we saw that last week, right? We had that story about Jesus in the fields with his disciples on the Sabbath, and he was getting criticized by the authorities. He's getting criticized for healing on the Sabbath. He wanted to change the way that people saw things and the way that they approached things. He wanted to change the way that people viewed religious rules. And this week, he's challenging the family structure. And he's not challenging the family so much for being family, but for the way that sometimes family can actually be used to perpetuate oppression on people. So how might family be in conflict with the kingdom of God, with that way of being? Well, there's a couple different ways that family can be kind of a negative influence on us, I think. First of all, we know that families can pass down generational trauma and generational issues that, even with the best intentions, even the most supportive families can pass down things that maybe we're not even aware of that we're inheriting. There's been some interesting examples, sociological studies of people, for example, who have groups of people who have endured particular historical traumas, like people who've lived through the Holocaust survivors, or Native American families, people that went through what were called the Indian schools. You know, these were the residential boarding schools that they sent Native American children to basically lose their identity and culture. And there's studies that have shown that people who have gone through these things tend to pass down elements of trauma to their children, to their grandchildren, even if they have dealt with it themselves. There still are higher instances of mental health issues, depression, anxiety, things like that, in the generations that follow. It gets passed down. I'm sure this sort of thing happened. I'm sure this sort of thing happens in my own family. You know, I know that my grandparents were, one of them was a combat veteran in World War II in the Pacific. Towards the end of his life, my grandfather finally started telling me some of his stories of the things that he saw, the things that he experienced, and they were things that haunted him. You know, there were terrible things that he experienced. All of my grandparents lived through the Great Depression and had to live through some really difficult times in the Midwest. And I'm sure that even with their best intentions, those things get passed down, and every successive generation has to learn how to heal from those things. Also, a way that families might perpetuate some form of oppression is the fact that families don't always work the way that we think families should, right? You know, politicians love to talk about family values. But what exactly does that mean? What exactly does that mean? According to the most recent census, 82% of families in the U.S. are not of the traditional nuclear family structure. That whole idea of 2.5 kids, mom and dad, and the dog, and the white picket fence, and all of that stuff. That's not, we might hold that up as an ideal, but in reality, most people aren't living like that. I think this is an appropriate topic to talk about during Pride Month, honestly, because 34% of LGBTQ folks have reported having to leave their birth families, to separate themselves from their birth families, and rely on chosen family to help support them in issues they are facing. So it's that traditional family structure doesn't always do what it's intended to do. And so where does Jesus's vision of family come in here? Right? I think Jesus is giving us not an abolition of the family. He's not telling us that families aren't a good thing. He's just telling us that there's a wider view of what it means to be family. When he looks out on the crowd and he says, it's not just my blood brothers and sisters and mother. It's all of you that are part of this family. It's not family tied to blood, but it's family that's tied to radical hospitality, that's tied to welcome. It's not undermining families. It's not about undermining families, but it's about providing better support to all types of families, creating a society that's able to support people no matter what type of family they're in. And it's putting family in the proper perspective, right? It's not just about my family, taking care of my family, taking care of my people, but it's about seeing the whole human family. And if you think about it, this is a way that brings freedom. And it brings freedom for all kinds of people. It brings freedom for those of us who have grown up in good and supportive families, because it means that we are able to expand who we care for. We're free to be able to care for people outside of our little tight circle of family. And for those who have had negative experiences of family, it's a freedom of not having to be defined by the family that they grew up with. It's a path to healing, and healing the type of division that I think is so prevalent in our culture and our society today. I think it's connected to the conversation about gun violence, talk about breaking down of families. And so maybe the kind of values that Jesus is talking about are not family values, but kingdom values. There's a beautiful prayer in the Book of Common Prayer, and it's a prayer for the human family. And I think that, or the whole human family. And the words of it, I think, speak to the kind of vision that Jesus has for all families. It says, "Take away the arrogance and hatred which infect our hearts. Break down the walls that separate us. Unite us in bonds of love, and work through our struggle and confusion to accomplish your purposes on earth." I like that it acknowledges confusion, right? But working together as family and taking that broad view of family, we can struggle, we can be confused together, we can create the space for each other, to be able to be who God is calling all of us to be. And so let that prayer be our prayer today, not just for our own families, although I know we love them dearly, but let's also expand our hearts and our vision of what family can be to all of those who we are able to encounter and care for with our lives. And I pray this with you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.